Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Anthem Biosciences Q4 FY26 earnings conference call hosted by JM Financial Institutional Securities. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during this conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Amey Chalke from JM Financial Institutional Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you, Alric. Good morning and warm welcome to all the participants on Anthem Biosciences 4Q and FY26 earnings call hosted by JM Financial. Today on this call, we have with us from the management, Mr. Ajay Bhardwaj, Managing Director and Chief Executive Officer, and Mr. Davir Baig, Chief Financial Officer. I will now hand over the call to Mr. Ajay Bhardwaj for his opening remarks. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Yeah, thank you, Amey. And thank you, everyone, for being on this call. Good morning. At the outset, I'm very pleased to say we ended the financial year 2025-26 on a very strong note. Our consolidated revenue from operations for the full year was 2,124 crore. Out of this, our CRDMO business contributed 83% of this revenue, delivering 1,773 crore, which was an 18% growth over last year. Specialty ingredients contributed 17% of our revenue, and that delivered 352 crore worth of sales. We delivered 156 crore other income for the financial year, taking our total revenue to 2,280 crore, which was a growth of 18% over last year. Other operating income includes gain on account of Forex and RoDTEP export incentives of 63 crore and financial and other non-operating income of 92 crore. Our EBITDA was just shy of 1,000 crore at 990 crore, which included other income, with EBITDA margins of 43.4%, a growth of 31% on absolute terms and 420 basis points on margins over the last financial year. PBT before exception item was 849 crore. A word about the new labor code impact and tax expense. Our profit after tax for the year was 592 crore, a growth of 31% over last year, with PAT margins of 26%. Net cash position as of March 31st, 2026, is 1,375 crore. With respect to the quarterly financials, this was our highest revenue quarter ever, which was, that is, in Q4 FY26. We delivered a revenue growth year-on-year of 26% for the quarter, with consolidated revenues at 611 crore. CRDMO business delivered 513 crore revenues, with a growth of 31% on a year-on-year basis. Specialty ingredients delivered 98 crore, a growth of 8% year-on-year. EBITDA, including other incomes, was 318 crore, a growth of 52% over last year, with EBITDA margins at 48.1%, to be precise. PBT before exceptional items was 2,777 crore. So we reassessed the impact of the new labor code changes, factoring in the revised remuneration structure. As a result, we have recognized a credit of 98 lakh as exceptional items on account of the new labor code implementation. PAT was 190 crore for the quarter, with PAT margins at 28.7%, a growth of 130% on a YoY basis. So overall, in a nutshell, it was a strong performance for the financial year 2025-26, with the highest revenue quarter ever in Q4 FY26, Anthem's commitment to prudent cost management and focus on long-term value creation has enabled us to expand profitability margins while delivering this revenue growth. Our EBITDA and PAT for the year grew by more than 30% in line with our growth aspirations, and we continue to maintain a healthy financial position and remain committed to delivering sustainable growth across all business segments. As we step into this financial year of 2026-27, our priorities remain clear: to build one of the most agile, science-led, and future-ready CRDMO platforms in the world. Well, thank you for your attention. I now open the floor for any questions and comments.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touch-tone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. We will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Our first question comes from the line of Bansi Desai with JPMorgan. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for taking my question and congrats on good finish to the year. So as we step in fiscal 27, how should we think about the growth for CRDMO business, both for research and development and manufacturing, both these pieces? Also, if you could comment on for our key products where we had witnessed some destocking impact in fiscal 26, are those largely sorted now? Should we see growth coming back on those molecules as we move ahead?
Yeah. Well, thanks, Bansi. Just an overall comment. When we look at the future, if you look at our history as well, if you look at our track record, we have delivered growth in the vicinity of 20% and more, and that's what we aspire to even in the coming years. And so it is for us, we believe that we are in a good place to align with what we have done in the past, but of course, that remains to be seen. But we are very confident of our growth trajectory in this year and the years to come. On the question of destocking, that portion, there was definitely that with our customers, from many of our customers, but you have seen that in spite of that, we have delivered such good growth. So going forward, when things get better and when this situation of destocking now swings to restocking, I think Anthem would be even in a better place. So again, I think mostly it's behind us, and we expect that this will have a very positive impact on Anthem's top line and bottom line.
Bansi, I just want to add something over here. So historically, if you look at it, last 10 years, our revenue growth has been around 20% level. Even when we started last year, we said that we'll be delivering about 20%, but then we course-corrected, and then we delivered about 15% revenue growth. While we had said 20% on revenues and 20% on EBITDA and PAT, whatever was the shortfall on revenues, we more than made up with respect to our EBITDA and PAT performance, with a 30% EBITDA growth and 30% plus PAT growth for FY25-26. So our aspirations are quite high. What we have delivered in the past, historically, over a long-term period, and we are not talking about a near-term FY27 or a near-term two years, one year or a two-year kind of a period. We want to refrain from giving any guidance for FY27 or FY28, but long-term, have we put in the ingredients from a growth point of view? I say that the answer is yes. We're investing in our people. We're investing in our facilities. We're investing in technology. And all of this is also seen by our customers. Customers do like us. We are getting more and more projects as well. Our commercial portfolio has increased. Our other portfolio from a late-stage point of view has also gone up. So all the ingredients are there. I would refrain from giving a forward-looking FY27 or a near-term guidance, Our thought process is to deliver on what we have delivered in the past across all parameters. Last year, we missed out on one parameter, but more than compensated on the two parameters on EBITDA and PAT. But we will continue to do our best to deliver going forward on across all parameters from a growth and profitability point of view.
No, thanks, and appreciate that. My second question is, also in terms of how do we from here on intend to augment our, relationship with, more innovators. So I know we've got very strong relationship with probably three of the top 20 big pharma. We've added probably two more there. So, as we move along, what probably, the initiatives that you've been taking, so that we probably have, we see broadening, of our footprint with, more innovators, large innovators. And secondly, on capacities, do you think this is constrained by, our capacity, and therefore, as we move along over the next 2 years, when more capacity comes online, we should see, broadening of our relationship with more big pharmas?
Well, yeah, it is already, as you rightly said, and there have been two notable additions last year in Big Pharma, which we didn't have earlier. We expect those relations to, and these were done directly, okay? A lot of our relationship with Big Pharma have come through acquisitions of the biotechs that we've been working with, and when they get acquired, we move into working with Big Pharma. And then once we're in there, we try to broaden our relationship in other parts of their business. However, now they've been last year we've had two direct contacts and two direct relationships, which are now I'm glad to say growing healthily. And we expect that it's not like flipping a switch. Your customers will have to build confidence in you, and they will slowly start giving you more and more exposure to their business, so a larger contract. And I think we've already done that, the initial part, and we expect that we will see a bigger part of their pie in the years ahead. That's one. Secondly, a lot of our new programs are, we have at this moment about 10 programs in the phase 3 in small biotechs, and historically they always get acquired. So once they get acquired by Big Pharma, we expect that our relationship will be with new Big Pharma. So I think we're in a good place. We are about 100 projects are in more than 100 projects we are doing in R&D in early stages, and 10 of them are in phase 3. So we are in a good place, I think, to add more Big Pharma customers to our portfolio.
And the point which you had asked on capacity, I don't see with the capacity additions that we have made in the last financial year with respect to Unit 2 expansion and also Unit 3 commissioning, we have a decent headroom right now which we can use up till the time our Unit 4 comes up, both on chemistry and biology. So capacity will not be a constraint. Unit 2 expansion that we made that added significant capacity. We moved up from 270 kiloliters in unit 246 kiloliters in unit 2 to almost about 376 kiloliters 50%. In unit 2, so it's a 50% addition. Unit 3 is also fully up and running right now. So capacity will not be a constraint. What we are doing in unit 4 is more to make ourselves future ready, so that whenever the capacity comes up for unit 4, and there are more programs coming in from early stage biotech innovators or from Big Pharma, we have the wherewithal to be able to service them. So capacity is not a constraint for us now.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Saion Mukherjee with Nomura Holdings. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for taking my question, sir. So one question, you mentioned about, you're trying to make the business more agile, future-ready CRDMO platform. In that context, what are the big missing pieces that you would like to address, let's say over the next 2-3 years, either organically or even inorganic as part of your plans? whether in India or even outside India, you know, given the current geopolitical situation and you're expanding, you know, customer relationships.
Yeah, thanks, Ayan. Again, in terms of becoming more agile and more ready, science-led, and be ready for our customers, what Anthem is doing is investing in technology. Though we do have, you know, if you look at our factories, we do have traditional bioreactors and bioreactors. But at the same time, we are also investing heavily in changing the way chemistry is done. So we are looking at, and also biology, can we do this in a continuous fashion? Can we change it to using, you know, bringing better automation and control? Can we also do, you know, more green chemistry? All of this at a commercial scale. So where we have the advantage is that when we look at a program, we look at it very early in its evolution. And so when it's an early program comes in, you can implement all these so that when it goes to the regulators, you've already implemented these new technologies. That makes us puts us in a place where we have obviously the respect of the customer, but also the regulators love better control, more green chemistry, and at the same time, delivering higher quality as a result of all these better controls. So the emphasis on technology will remain, and this is not just limited to what we have already told everybody. We are adding new aspects to this technology, and as and when you visit Anthem, you'll be able to see those in action. So this is the first part. Secondly, in terms of acquisitions and growth, I mean, apart from our organic growth, which is also substantive, we are not averse to looking at acquisitions, both in India and abroad. We are actively searching. Well, unfortunately, we haven't come across the right candidate, and I've said this ad nauseum, and I'll repeat it again. We will not do an acquisition for the sake of an acquisition. It has to make sense, and it has to be the right asset. So we're always scouting for such targets, but you know, once they come along, only then at the right one there, we'll make that call. So this is, to answer, we will drive our business through technology.
Understood. Just one more question on CAPEX. If we can talk about your CAPEX number for next year as you're expanding the new unit, and also slightly medium-term CAPEX outlook, let's say over the next 3-4 years, if you can guide for that.
Sure. So, Sayan, in terms of our CAPEX plan, the first and the major CAPEX what we are incurring right now is on Unit 4. Unit 4, we have articulated that this is going to be our largest project. Unit 1, 2, and 3 put together, the Unit 4 is going to be much larger than all of the units put together. So it's a 30-acre piece of land, and all our Unit 1, 2, and 3 put together is close to about 30 acres. So in phase 1 of that expansion, we are looking at adding, and we are looking at investing almost about 1,200-odd crores across 2 years. This year, FY27, and in FY28, we aim to complete the phase 1 expansion by March 28 financial year, live towards the later half of March 28. This will add close to about 365 kiloliters of custom synthesis capacity and 100 kiloliters of fermentation. Vis-a-vis, our current capacity is 425 kiloliters custom synthesis and 180 kiloliters fermentation. So we are more or less doubling on custom synthesis and adding 50% more on the fermentation side. So that's on Unit 4. We'll be completing a few expansion, which is ongoing, more on Unit 2 and Unit 3, which is lying as CWIP in our books in this half year of FY27. But largely medium term, if you look at it, it's going to be Unit 4, which will be driving the major part of it. Just to add, we still have two more phases to be done with respect to Unit 4. That we will take it up once phase 1 gets completed, and that will be post March 28. But the aspirations are huge over there, so that we can build a much larger facility, which will in phase one, at least double. In phase two, it could be triple of our overall size from an overall capacity size point of view.
Understood. Just a clarification. So next year, your capex would be north of 600 crores, right?
Yes.
Would that be a right assessment? So can you,
that's right.
600 plus from residual capex plus maintenance capex. So what would be the number we should work with next year?
Roughly about 700, and then post that will be about 500.
Okay. Yeah, thanks a lot.
And this we are investing for the future.
Yeah.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Debanjan Bhakta with Universal Sompo General Insurance. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity. Am I audible?
Yes, Debanjan,
yes,
please
yes.
Be a little louder though. Thank you.
Okay. Like, I wanted to get some color on the product side. As you're seeing like new orders coming on, the new RSQs, what modalities are they coming in? Like, are they biological entities or chemical entities?
Sorry, Debanjan, I didn't catch that question. What, can you just repeat the question?
Like the orders that you are seeing, the new orders that you are seeing coming, right? Well, are they coming in the biological entity modalities or chemical entity modalities?
Both. Both. And I would say that across both custom synthesis side and biology side, plus on the advanced technologies on the custom synthesis, more on the peptides or on the RNAi side, we're getting more and more orders there.
Okay, and another question, like what payload are we developing in the ADC platform? What type of payload? What type of payload are we developing in the ADC platform?
I mean, I'm not at a liberty to disclose those. Those are confidential work that we do for our clients. But we do a variety of payloads. At least I think 15-20 payloads we work on, and depending on what our clients want, and some of them are proprietary. So that's a very interesting area, and we have a huge amount of activity going on there. I'm sorry, I won't be able to give the name of payloads.
Okay, and last question. From the current manufacturing revenue, right, not the research, how much of it coming from biologics and how much is it coming from chemical entities? The current manufacturing revenue.
So a larger portion of it is from custom synthesis. But see, Debanjan, a lot of work includes enzymatic work. There is a lot of peptides work which gets done. A lot of work on the RNAi side. Even in custom synthesis, on some of the areas we use biotransformation. So it's very difficult to articulate and differentiate saying that this is pure play biology and this is pure play custom synthesis. But a sizable portion of our work comes from the NC molecule side, on the custom synthesis side.
Thank you. Thank you for that.
Thank you.
The next question comes from the line of Vivek Gautam with GS Investment. Please go ahead.
Congratulations, sir, for good set of numbers. And, sir, my question is, any risk of stocking, destocking inventory, etc. in our company? And GLP-1, basically, how is the opportunity size for us? And overall opportunity size for us in an expected growth rate for the next 2-3 years and differentiated for our company, sir. Thank you.
Okay, to answer the first question, there is the destocking that had to happen has already happened. So this year, everything will be in the positive territory. So they are, not, they are restocking now. So that part is behind us. And the second part is on the question of GLP-1. We are in see, if you follow the GLP approvals in India, most of them have their active is from China, and now we are in conversation with, I would say, all the big players to give them an alternate which is based here in India. So we're in a very good position as far as GLP-1 goes, but this will be most of them have launched, and so we will be in a good place to replace imports. and that is a position that we are, you know, we've always been strong in. The third question was on
differentiator for our company and opportunity size and expected growth rate for the next few years, sir.
So historically, we've grown upwards of 20%, and we feel confident that this is what we want to maintain. However, you know, as I say, we don't give forward-looking guidance, so I would not be able to give a number. But you know, we do aspire to the growth that we have maintained so far, and everything as far as Anthem is concerned is aligned to give you that growth rate. And in terms of what differentiates us, I think it starts at the very basic thing. We are very different from our peers in India. We are more focused on small biotechs, and therefore we are more on the discovery side rather than the full-time equivalent type of business. What we differentiate ourselves is by technology as well. I think in that we have no peers in the country. We absolutely approach every problem from a new technology solution, and which our clients love. I think that gives us a lot of visibility and traction with our clients. The third part that differentiates is our culture, as well as the you know, a very large number of our hello, is the line still active?
Yeah.
A very large number of our employees are on our ESOP plan, 40% at the time of announcing stock options. So we have a very young, energized workforce which wants to see the company grow, and I think are really making a difference.
Yeah. Sorry. So any risk of AI in the discovery stage where we are focused?
Yeah, we see AI is coming into all kinds of functions of the company. It starts with the recruitment, with HR, with warehousing. So we are trying to bring in, you know, there's a lot of type of hype of AI, but you have to pick up the use cases and implement them case by case as they are relevant to you. So it's not some overarching thing that you can say, I have now put the company on AI. It has to be in the areas where it is relevant. So it's a work in progress. We are constantly exploring that.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Vivek Rakolia with Fincom Family Office. Please go ahead.
Very good morning. Am I audible?
Yes, yeah, very.
Thanks a lot for the opportunity, and apologies in advance if my questions are very basic. I'm very new to the company. I wanted to understand firstly on the peptide front, a listed peer claims to have also developed the capability of making the full peptide chain, right, from fragments to the APIs. And they have even started expanding their capacity for the same. How do you see this development, and what would be your strategy to differentiate against the competition, domestic and international?
Okay, for instance, when you... this is not a science lesson, but... when you say peptide is like saying an organic molecule. So they are very different type of peptides, and it's a full body of chemistry by themselves. There is many ways to make, depending on the peptide that is of interest. You can make different fragments, then do convergent synthesis, or you can do even serially by step by step, or you can do partly by fermentation and partly by synthesis, and then do what's called biosynthesis. So there are all kinds of ways of doing it. So depending on the peptide in question, we've actually done, we have 7 or 8 or may know even more than that, 10, 12 peptides which we are working on. So each of them follow a different strategy. It depends on the structure and the way it has to be built. So I won't have an answer which is, you know, to give you a very generic answer, how are we doing this? When we look at a problem, we look at what is the most optimal solution in terms of economics. So we approach the problem from that side, which therefore our aim is always to get the best cost of goods. As to your other thing that, you know, the other question that somebody is doing all this assembly of a peptide right from beginning, so is Anthem. So, I don't have, I'm not privy to what they are doing, but Anthem is in a very, very good place as far as GLP-1 type of peptides are concerned. I believe that we have extremely competitive cost of goods, rivaling even the Chinese. So I think we're in a good place there. We're very competitive.
Great. Thanks a lot for that answer. And next was also just stepping back in terms of molecules and complexities. Would it be the correct understanding that the TAM of peptide is larger than that of oligonucleotides? And also just wanted to confirm if between, say, peptide, oligonucleotides and ADCs, how would you rank on the base or yourself on the basis of the complexity of the subject that you work with, your capability, of course, and the TAM of these areas and competition, if you can explore these areas of these three molecules and modalities.
Okay, you know, you're asking a very fundamental question. Right now, peptides are the most successful commercial molecule, so in terms of TAM, they would be the biggest. But for very some applications, peptides don't work. So there you need an ADC, and that's a very big area of growth in the pharma industry. And then again, when you bring oligonucleotides, they are everywhere again. So Anthem has capability to work in all these areas. That is something which is, because these are the new modalities and these are new areas of research. And as I said, Anthem addresses all the problems through, you know, find solutions, technological solutions. So we are present in these three modalities in a very strong way. I mean, it'd be unfair to compare ADC versus peptide versus oligonucleotide. They all do specific jobs, and they are designed for that. The idea is to, you know, get to the patient the right treatment. So Anthem is present in all of them. As far as market is concerned, given the very large nature of, diabetes as well as obesity, right now peptides are the largest sales, and in the foreseeable future, that's what it looks like.
Great. Thanks a lot for your answers. All the very best. Thank you.
Thank you.
The next question comes from the line of Dhaval Kut with Jefferies. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thanks for taking my question. I wanted to understand what steps are we taking to build a pipeline even in large molecule? And, wanted to delve deeper into the BD side of large molecule, like how willing are innovators to give their projects to Indian CRDMO? How easy or difficult is it to bring those early stage molecules in the country versus, let's say, you know, the willingness in small molecule? And does India have any cost benefit advantage versus Korea or China? Because CRDMO from those regions claim that in large molecules there is no cost difference, their yields are extremely high. So just wanted to get thoughts around the large molecule CRDMO space. That's my first question.
Okay, thanks, Dhaval. See, Anthem is, as I said, we are focused equally, and not all our peers in India at least are. We are focused very well on biology as well as chemistry. So we're making investments to in this space as well so that we can do large molecule manufacture. And we are working with about 4 or 5 projects where we would be the development partner and hopefully then the manufacturing partner in large molecules. To answer your question about, you know, how willing they have no problem. Most of the people, most of the customers we work with, and they don't see a problem of coming to India. The problem, if it is any, lies in their capacities. So the Koreans, in particular in China also, the large companies build up massive capacities. So in that sense, they tend to be, they are ahead of us. There's no denying that. Because there is the upfront investment in large molecules is quite large, so you have to be willing to invest billions of dollars for those kind of capacities, which some of the players in Korea and China have done that. Second part, that what is Anthem doing to get people on board? Again, we plug away at this because I think in terms of early development, Anthem is a very, very good partner, and if you have early development, at least in biologics, the chances are that you can retain the project because you would know more about it than anybody else. And they would not like to transfer out when all the regulatory things of work has also been done at Anthem. So our strategy is a little different. It has to be. We can't go in there, like Celfion or Samsung and say, give us the project, or even Lonza, a ready-made project, because they have the capacity to support it. All the Indian companies are in the same position. Biosimilars, India is already making a dent. So in novel molecules also, it is in the same position that we were in small molecules, let's say 20, 25 years ago in NCEs. And I think it's a very good place, because now the barriers of mental barriers of giving work to India are not there. So the more we invest, which we are, the more we will see projects coming our way.
Got it, sir. This is a very helpful commentary. Secondly, just wanted to get the update on the biosimilar asset that we are working on. How's the progress going on? And eventually, when things will hit our P&L, we'll put it under the CRDMO category, or will it fall under the specialty ingredients?
So that's going really well. That project is well on its way, and I think there's a process of doing this. It has to be refiled, 3 batches. All that is going on now, and that typically the lead times in approval of another site tends to be 1 year or so. I think it will hit our P&L next year. Where will we classify it? I think it will go in CRDMO. Yeah, it will go in CRDMO.
Thank you, sir. I have more questions. I'll join back the queue.
Yeah, thanks, sir.
A reminder to all participants, you may press star and 1 to ask a question. The next question comes from the line of Ashish with UTI. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. So if you could also talk about specialty ingredient, what is the kind of order book that we are dealing with now, right now? Is this segment currently a victim of destocking, as we can see in the revenue growth numbers?
With respect to specialty ingredients, see, the nature of the business is slightly different. We are dealing with products such as... Hi, can you hear me? There's a little bit of
a background noise.
So we're dealing with products like Serratia peptides, vitamin B7, probiotics, enzymes, all of these products which we are dealing, and that is more catered towards the India and ROW markets. We are also looking at getting these products filed for some of the developed markets as well. So these are products, our own products, where we are selling to multiple customers. So it's slightly different than the CDMO business, where we are working with the innovators one-on-one, and where there is dedicated manufacturing which we do for some of the customers, and we get order book from them, and there's a significant large lead time in terms of supplying those molecules, and hence you have order book right at the very beginning of the year for 6 months down the line. Specialty ingredients has been a flow business for us, and if you look at specialty ingredients, I just want to add over there, last year was first 3 quarters of the year was a little bit flat for us, but we have started increasing revenues in specialty ingredients from the 4th quarter onwards. We delivered about 8% growth on the 4th quarter, and we would aspire to grow that business also in a similar growth trajectory as what we are looking at growing for our CDMO business, and overall on a 20% sort of a growth for specialty ingredients as well. We don't have a order book sort of a concept in specialty ingredients, because we manufacture and then we try to sell to the customers who are already taking the product across multiple geographies and across multiple product categories.
So, we are very confident now. We are also adding in a unit for a dedicated food facility. So this is something which has been lacking. What has been happening is, one reason why the growth tends to be a little patchy there is that we have the same facilities for specialty ingredients and our CDMO business, NCE business. So sometimes when the project is, when we get new projects in that area for CRDMO, we tend to, give less importance to the specialty ingredients business. So it tends to be some of their capacities get cannibalized by our CRDMO business. So That's one reason why they're not able to really see the growth. But now we're investing in a separate facility, and that will help us a lot in the future.
Okay, so given that some part of the gross block is actually fungible, how do you maintain margins then? Is there an aspiration? Because you have spoken about the revenue is growth aspiration. Anything on the EBITDA margin side you would like to comment on?
So our aspirations across all the parameters, whether it is revenue, EBITDA or PAT, is the same. If we continue to grow our business in a particular growth rate, our costs are also escalating in a similar sort of a growth rate. With a little bit of an operating leverage, we'll be able to keep our margins constant and continue to have witness a similar growth trajectory in EBITDA as well as in a PAT, terms.
Okay, so 38-40% EBITDA margins is a fair number to assume?
We've delivered so far, and we'll continue to deliver those numbers going forward as well.
Okay. And lastly, on headwind side, for our business, you do not see any risk emanating from the tariff situation, right?
No, tariffs is not a problem because most of the big pharma that we work with already have separate deal with the administration in the U.S. The second part is these are very difficult times to predict what will happen in terms of headwinds. Nobody anticipated a war in the Middle East. There's so many things which are up in the air. In spite of that, Anthem has grown and grown really well, and I don't see why we couldn't do that. But these are times where there are inflationary pressures. We all know that. We can see it. At the same time, we also know that what will deliver the goods is our technology platforms, and we believe that we'll be able to maintain both growth and profitability.
Yeah, that's very helpful. Thanks and all the best.
Yeah, thank you.
The next question comes from the line of Saion Mukherjee with Nomura Holdings. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the follow-up. Here's one question. You know, Anthem today is still a very small company, you know, compared to many global peers. And you have sort of a very cohesive unit, high quality service, which also reflected in, you know, steady growth and also very high profit margins and profitability. Now, if you look forward over the next 4-5 years, even if you grow at like 20%, maybe, you know, your scale will double or maybe triple. And if you add inorganic, it could sort of become even larger. Your comments do suggest that we are at an inflection point where, you know, CRDMO in India is accepted. Also, Anthem as a company is gaining traction with big pharma. So think that the opportunities can come your way, you know, at a much faster pace, and that would require you to sort of grow much bigger than, let's say, or much faster than what you have grown in the past. You know, that would also sort of probably present some challenges on execution and profitability. How are you, I mean, have you envisioned like Anthem from a 5-7 year perspective, slightly longer term kind of aspiration you have? And, you know, these levels of profitability, can it sustain? Because it's already very high compared to anyone else in the industry.
Yeah, so... yeah, we have envisioned 5 to 7 years of growth. As we said, we are investing such a large amount in Unit 4. By the time that comes in, gets seen and gets filled up, this will more, the capacity of Unit 4 is going to be greater than all our units put together. So, yes, there are much bigger players out there, but, you know, we've also had the fastest growth rate among all our peers. So, we don't see that, you know, at the end of the day, it is about your growth rather than worrying about what other size is, right? Somebody can have a bigger company, but we are growing faster than most. That's one thing. Secondly, yes, we are investing in the future, and if we weren't looking at five years ahead, why would we be investing such a large amount of money? The third thing about acquisitions and growth with the, in terms of merge, by, you know, getting into an inorganic growth situation. Yes, we are very keen on that, and if we get something which is the right quality and the right geography, we will definitely go for it. So there is no doubt about it that we are looking at all possibilities. And our cash situation allows us to be flexible. We can look at these possibilities. And you're absolutely right. Our margins are really, really high. And, you know, just to maintain them would be a yeoman task, but I think we are equal to it and we believe we can maintain them. But we really want to grow them as well. So we are better than our peers in growth, in terms of our growth, in terms of our margin, and we intend to stay there.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Amay Chalke with JM Financial Services. Please go ahead. Amay sir, please go ahead with your question and unmute your line in case if you are on mute.
Sure. Thank you for giving me opportunity. I have first question on CRO, how it has done during the year and the quarter, and if we can provide the breakup. Also, along with that, the GMs have gone up over last 1 year as well as this quarter or the second half. It is consistently above 65%. Is it contributed by the higher CRO mix, and what is the outlook on it? Thank you.
I mean, with respect to the gross margins, that we had articulated this, that for one of the intermediates where we were outsourcing it and we were not completely backward integrated, we became backward integrated during the course of last year, and it started showing in the gross margins with respect to the material margin movement. That integration is complete. We source the raw material, manufacture the intermediates, we manufacture the API and supply to the customer, so we are not reliant on any external source. So that backward integration has helped us in terms of improving our material margins, which has moved up over Q3 and Q4 of last year. Now, in terms of the split of revenues, a large portion of our business still comes from commercial molecules, and in the course of last year we had 4 molecules which went commercial, so our commercial pipeline increased to 14. On the late stage side, we had 10 at the beginning of the year. We got 4 of them moved towards commercial, but we also added a few more molecules in the late stage pipeline, and now the late stage pipeline stands at 10 phase 3 molecules. And that, and along with that, we work on 100 plus programs on the early stage side. So the development and manufacturing batches, what we supply for some of these early stage, late stage molecules, is roughly about 15% of our revenues. Commercial is about 60%, 60% and 14%. R&D is about 8 to 9% of our business, and the balance is specialty ingredients. Specialty ingredients is about 17% of our business. That's the breakdown.
Sure. Thank you so much. And the one question I have for Ajay, so CRO AI companies are also started coming in the US market. Although we are fortunately more manufacturing company, how do you see this AI evolution in the CRDMO space? And do you think that there is any space for this AI coming into the manufacturing side of it, which can be a material advantage on the AI? Yeah.
Okay, I mean, what we hear is that discovery, it will be a big aid in discovery, which is identification of molecules given a particular target. It will do it far faster, better. We also hear that it will give us many more optimized routes of manufacture. So there AI will definitely play a part, I'm pretty sure of that. But in the end of the day, somebody has to, you know, get into the plant and manufacture, and that's 83% of our business. I mean, it's a very high percentage of our business. So we are, I think, going to be, we feel we are a little protected. Manufacturing still has to be done. But there are areas where it will start to, optimize your thing. You will be able to optimize your plants better with better use of AI. That will only help us, and that will help us improve our margins, hopefully. So I don't have a clear-cut answer to it, but there will be portions of your business which will benefit from it. And I think we'll implement it depending on case by case as to where we see the maximum benefit and implement AI there. Overall, a company which has to be AI-ready. It's not a catch-all, but it will solve certain problems better than people can, and I think that's something that we are definitely looking.
Sure. Just last question, if I can, like on GLP-1, when is the commercialization is expected on the generic side of it, and can it be a material segment for us going ahead? Thank you so much.
Well, looking into the future, it will be a big contributor. I'm pretty sure of it. At the same time, all our customers are working on their new formulation with our material. So it also depends on when they can get approval and when we can get approval to launch it. So I think it's just sitting there. Otherwise, we are in a good place. That could happen in 6 months. It could happen in 8 months. But I think we are there.
Sure, sir. Thank you so much. I will join.
Thank you.
The next question comes from the line of Dhaval Khut with Jefferies Group. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the follow-up. I just wanted some more color on the phase 3 molecule pipeline that we have. Two parts to it. So on the first part, the recently added 4 molecules. So how many are lateral entry for us versus, molecules coming from phase 2 and graduating to phase 3? And secondly, can you divide this entire basket of 10 molecules into, how many are big pharma versus biotech as of now? And what would be the modalities of this entire basket of 10 molecules?
So, Dhaval, in terms of the additions which have happened in phase three, all of them are non-lateral. So these are molecules where we were working with them on early phase, phase 2, and they have moved to phase 3. Okay. All of them are emerging biotech. So it has come from our, entire, the biotech funnel where we work right from discovery, development, supplying them the small quantities. And then as the quantities progress, and as the product moves from phase 1 to phase 2, they have moved to phase 3. It's a good mix of molecules which are on ADC side. It's a good mix of molecules. We have some molecules where we also do biotransformation, and that has also moved on phase 3. So I won't say that it's more dominated towards one particular therapeutic category or one particular technology category. It's a good mix across all the spectrum of ADC peptides or oligos, etc. work what we do. And everything coming from the emerging biotech customer.
Okay, so this basket of 10 is a mix across, different technologies that you have. Is that a fair understanding, right? At least
yes.
You have one molecule in each of them. Okay, got it. Lastly, is the U.S. pharma tariff creating any challenges in terms of business development, especially with the U.S. customers, or you think the customers are also taking it with a bit of a pinch of salt because there's a lot of to and fro, the clarity is not there, and they are planning for long term?
No, it hasn't had any impact on us. And if you look at the nature of our business, most of our commercial products are with the big pharma, and they have entered into separate arrangements with respect to the tariff part with the administration. The early stage biotech cluster for us is still in the early development or in the late development stage. So they are still in the drug candidates category for us. It's not have... At least till now, we haven't had any impact with respect to the tariff announcements.
And your point is a good point that, I think the biotechs are taking this with equanimity. There's, as you yourself said, there's so much back and forth. Nobody's very clear what the intent is. It seems to be the intent is very undefined, and in the long run, it doesn't really matter. That's how people have taken this view now. That directionally, India and China, India and America are in on the same side. So I think everybody is okay with it.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, in the interest of time, we will take the last question from Udit Bokaria with Catamaran. Please go ahead.
Thanks for giving the opportunity. Sir, just wanted
to... I'm sorry to interrupt, Udit. Please be a little louder. Thank you.
Hello. Yeah.
Yes, please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity. Just wanted to understand a few of the commercial molecules which we were working with biotech companies were acquired by large pharma. And you had mentioned in the past that they are yet to be launched commercially by the big pharma because they were still doing some assessment, right? So when do we expect that to be launched? That's the first question. And the second question, if you can share what your U.S. biotech partner is talking about now, funding and biotech funding environment, and are you seeing increase in the inquiries?
Yeah. Go ahead.
So I'll take on the biotech funding side. See, biotech funding has been recovering, and I think till about April, the 4 months, it's gone up by about 50-odd% year on year. So there's a recovery which has happened on the biotech funding side, and we are also seeing that with respect to the request which is coming in on the early stage development projects. While the projects are smaller in size, but the number of requests which is coming in is increasing. So biotech funding is not a side of concern for us. Now, with respect to the commercial molecule questions which you had asked for, the last four molecules which went from our phase 3 pipeline to commercial last year, one of them was with a big pharma. The rest three were with the emerging biotech customers, and they have launched the product in the market, maybe towards the end of the year, some maybe towards the middle of the year. So it's launched, but the ramp-up will take some time. They are still in the early phase of their launch in the market.
And how should one read, like, from the customer indication, when can we expect the ramp-up happening for these products?
It takes 2 to 3 years to build, to have the ramp-up, because we might have mentioned the peak sales estimates of the four commercial molecules which went commercial last year. But that peak sales estimates is typically from the analysts are 4 to 5 years from the launch date. So it will take some time to launch because they will be looking at launching this molecule in one geography, then they are looking at filing, doing registrations in other geographies and launching it. It's a, with respect to registrations also, it will take some time. So it will be 2 to 3 years, for the molecules to see that ramp up happen in the overall sales.
So the current contribution from these four molecules would be less than 5% or 2%, meaningless.
Not really, because they have launched it in the market. So they have taken launch quantities from us. Ballpark, the current contribution from these four molecules will be in the range of closer to about 8 to 9% of our revenues. So when I talked about commercial molecules being about 60% of our revenues, 8-odd percentage ballpark will be from the new molecules which had been launched. 8 to 9%.
So there's a lot of headroom to grow.
Understood. And just back on the biotech funding part, so in terms of the, our capacity to handle number of projects, right? Currently we are doing 100 projects. So how should we think, what is the peak capacity of inquiries that we can handle, and how are we ramping that up?
As you said, we have invested new Anthem, our Unit 3, which is where we are putting a lot of labs, so we can handle many more projects. But I must also tell you, when these projects come in different slices, right? It is not that everything comes at one go. So there'll be, in out of these 100 projects, some would be at the early stage of just development of the chemistry, some would be at a stage of optimizing that chemistry, and then another would be how we can get a commercial optimization of the process. So when there are so many aspects to it, it is not there. We have different teams to address that. So at any given time, we can handle a lot of projects. It's not that we are constrained by that. And but you're right, you need more and more labs, and those that's what we built in Unit 3. So if the projects go to 200, we'll be fine. We'll be able to handle that.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that brings us to the end of the question and answer session. I would now like to hand the conference over to the management for the closing remarks.
Okay. Well, first of all, thank you everyone for attending this. And as we have said, we will continue to be our aspiration is to be the most admired, the most agile, and the one CRDMO that follows the best practices around the world. Our customers have shown their trust in us by being very sticky. We have very long-term relationships with most of our customers, which is yielding us very good results. And going forward, I expect that to remain. And we are very confident about the future. The investments that we have made will start to Unit 3 is already turning around, and it's going to be in the positive territory this year. Unit 4 will be ready by the end of next financial year. And so we are in a very good place to become the leading CRDMO out of our country. And, you know, after that, the sky is the limit. So thank you for your confidence in us, and we will work very hard to honor that confidence. Thank you very much.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of GM Financial Institutional Securities, that concludes this conference call. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.